Mary, Arthurville, 1985. Mary was a childhood nickname, her older brother Roland's tangled version of Miranda, one that stuck despite, or perhaps because of, the distance between the name and the reality. Truth was, she was far from being Mary, even as a child. She wasn't melancholy, exactly. She rarely cried or complained, but you wouldn't call her cheerful. She didn't bring sunshine and laughter into a room the way a name like that might suggest. She was watchful, she was determined, and she was brave. She hadn't needed any sort of comforter as a baby. Dummies were spat out, blankets ignored, teddy bears were flung from the cot. Even as a very small child, she'd take a tumble from a horse and clamber back up without a murmur, grim-faced, resolute. Skin her knee and she'd refuse a band-aid. She was never aggressive herself, but no one ever bullied her in the schoolyard. She received the ruler once or twice for some nastiness or other, stood in front of the teacher and took a thwack on the hand without flinching. She stood up to her parents too, against any perceived unfairness or occasional ill treatment. Her parents weren't abusive. They weren't even especially bad parents, if you took the context of the times and the peculiarities of their class into account. But they were remote, and they could be hard. They were the sort of parents who expected compliance, conformity, and a reasonable level of success from their progeny, along with hard work and loyalty. Encouragement and approval were never overtly expressed. They were the Beauforts of Pembroke, and nothing more needed to be said. It was a little like being royalty. You were a part of a line, not an ordinary family, and that meant doing what was necessary, what was required, what was best for the collective, not the individual. The alternative was unthinkable. For most of her early life, what was necessary and what Mary wanted more or less aligned, so compliance was easy. Her parents' benign neglect suited her. She wasn't particularly needy. She was smart. She liked to be physically active. A day rambling about the property on her pony suited her well enough. And if she was asked to pitch in during the shearing season or distribute feed in winter, she didn't complain. The two children were sent to the local Arthurville Primary School, more than an hour each way on the rattly school bus. The school wasn't really ideal. The area was impoverished, the teachers generally young and inexperienced. According to their father, most of the other pupils were simpletons, but there was no point spending money on a private tutor when they only needed to learn the basics. Anyway, Mary was bright enough academically, a consistently A-grade student without too much effort. They made friends with the local kids, but never got too close. Their parents disinclined to drive them into town for birthday parties or sporting events or after-school activities. Not that there were that many of those on offer. Not in Arthurville in the 70s and 80s. There was usually work to do at home on the weekends anyway. Fun wasn't a priority. And if socialising was on the agenda, the townsfolk weren't the first port of call. There were people of their own class to invite for tennis matches and dinner parties and barbecues. Their father died just as Mary hit adolescence. He'd been an older father, already in his 50s when he married her mother, a distant cousin, and he'd been a remote, distracted parent. Rowley was devastated, but her father's absence made very little impact on Mary. Her mother had taken over the running of the property with a single-minded devotion that meant that the needs and desires of the children were of even less consequence. Although her brother, as putative heir, enjoyed certain privileges. Once they reached high school, the two children were sent away to board at the same Sydney private schools that their parents and grandparents had attended. And from there on in, Mary's narrative should have followed a predictable trajectory. University, respectable work, a suitable marriage, children. This was the life she'd been brought up to expect, the life that her social position and even her mother, in her offhand way, had mapped out for her. And if she was honest, it was the life she'd imagined herself. But then she met Mick. And that was when a lifetime of expectations and Mary's own desires parted company, where one story ended and another began.